Welcome back to Wine and Dining LA with Anoush. Our today's guest is a spiceologist and a blend master, Peter Balavanyan. Welcome back. Thank you for sharing in the first part of the show about all the health benefits of spices and how important it is today to take care of your body and preferably in a natural way. Thank you, Peter, for being here and sharing all your knowledge.
Well, thank you for having me. I love sharing whatever information I have about spices to anybody that wants to listen.
So we talked about health benefits, which is very important, but I wanted also to talk about the deliciousness aspect of the spices and herbs. Because honestly, if you look at the whole world, pretty much everybody uses the same ingredients, right? It's potato, it's meat, it's carrots, it's vegetables, etc. But what makes every country distinct and different from each other is the spice.
Absolutely, I agree. A lot of people use the same ingredients. If you don't add spices to those ingredients will always taste the same. What makes cultures come out is the actual spices they put together, and that kind of like is their profile. And if you travel, you realize that it's usually what they grow or what grows in that area. And that makes a big difference on what they're going to eat as well and how they're going to cook the food. So that kind of like this defines our backgrounds and our history. There's nothing like someone cooking a meal in Spain and then using ingredients that you're very familiar with, but then the meal comes out so Spanish that you're like, wow, how did they come up with this, even though all those ingredients are the similar ingredients that you're familiar with? It's just the way they grow there and the proportions that they put and they mix together, and probably one or two spices that are very much their own type of spice that gives them character. And that's interesting, because anywhere you go around the world, that will define the culture that it is. And the spices are really part of that.
And so how did you decide to start blending your own mixes? Was it based on your own taste, or did you travel the world and each country saw what their proportions are, or how did you, because I know you have various spices, various blends that are like Asian and Middle Eastern and Indian, but that's not all of that of your background. How did you come up with those recipes?
Yeah, I basically did a lot of research. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I did travel quite a bit as a producer around the world. And once I was around the world traveling, and I can't say I've been around the world everywhere, but as many places as I can, wherever I did go, I did my research in those areas and figured out the specific meals or the dishes that they create there and the spices growing in those regions. That helped me quite a bit to build my repertoire of blends. And at first, the blends that I would make are really blends that are known around the world, such as Ras Al Hanout or Harissa or Berber. These are all blends that a lot of people can create or have created in the past, but everybody does their version of it. So they can substitute ingredients, or they can keep pretty much similar ingredients, but change the formula and proportions. So my whole thing was based on, you know, my knowledge and my experience of cultures and different cultures. Luckily, again, my background played part to this, because being Armenian, growing up in a household with grandmothers, my parents being from the Middle East, all of that played part in flavors, because we were lucky enough to get all these flavors in our household that I was accustomed to trying different things, experimenting different things. And growing up in Montreal gave me privilege too, because we were always open. We went to Asian food. We went to Indian food. You know, we never had limitations and flavors in Montreal. So that helped me growing as well, my profile and my palate. So when I make my blends, I usually don't even taste it at first. I just smell. I let my nose direct me, mm-hmm. and that helps me quite a bit. It's kind of like how you do it in your wine. I do it in my blends. I hardly taste anything, because obviously when I'm going to taste it, I'm usually going to be cooking with it. But when my nose tells me this is the smell I want out of this, then that's when I take it and I try to cook something with it and see if I like it. Or I'll take it and I'll mix it with some olive oil and I'll just eat it as like a bread dip to see if I enjoy the flavor profile of that blend that I make. And then I make tweaks if I have to. But yeah, that's kind of like how it all started. I try
that's
to do
so
blends
exciting.
That are representative of different cultures. I try to pay tribute to them specifically. So if I'm doing a curry, I'll use Indian coriander, I'll use Indian cumin, I'll use products from India so that it can bring out the regional flavors. It's important because you have cumin that grows in South America, you have cumin that grows in the Middle East, you have cumin that grows in India, you have cumin. So you have these spices that grow in all these places, but there's subtly different from each other, you know, when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with oregano or same thing with coriander. There's subtleties that are different, even though it's the same plant. It's just the harvest.
Can you taste that?
In the land. Yes, you can taste it. If you put them side by side, you can absolutely taste the difference. And you can even smell
that
the difference.
Amazing.
Them.
It's just like having a Cabernet Sauvignon that grows in California, that grows in Mendoza, Argentina, that grows in France and let's say in Australia. They are all the Cabernet grapes, but they have the similarities, but they also are very distinct because of the soil, of the climate, of the topography. All of that plays a very big role. So I guess that applies to the spices too, because they also grow from the soil.
Yes, that definitely the first step of the differences come from where the soil itself and differences in how the harvest. And then also the method of harvesting also brings out flavors in the spices themselves and how they dry them afterwards. So all of these play part in making that spice very distinct. If you take oregano from let's say Greece, which is very well known for their oregano, it grows wild and everybody adores the wild oregano from Greece. Now, very distinct, very, very, very specific smell and taste to it. Now, neighboring, let's say, countries in the Middle East also grow oregano, similar to the Greek, because they took the plants from there and they grew them over onto the other side. And then they have almost like a version of their Greek oregano, but it's different country from a different country. And then you have somewhere, let's say, in Mexico, where they're growing also oregano, which is not the same actual plant itself, but very similar also in fragrance and in aroma, but difference in taste. So it's amazing how it differs from one country to another, even though it could be a very similar plant that's growing in all over the place. And that's the fun part about it, is if you start tasting the differences in the regional flavors of the spices, then now you're actually experiencing a little bit of the actual identity of those communities growing from those areas. And that makes it really fulfilling, you know, when you start thinking about it in the spice world. I mean, the world was practically discovered because people were in search of spices, you know. Today, salt, it's the brother and sister in spices. You can't really have spices without salt, because salt always brings out the flavors of spices. But salt has been used for so long to keep food, you know, from going bad. Just the fact that you put salt on it.
It's a preservative, yeah.
Yeah, a preservative. So it's so interesting how everything's got a role, you know, in the food world, when it comes down to it, and how it's being used. And these are generations and generations of recipes and formulas that have been handed down, and taken and brought us here now. You know, I love the chefs that come up with new ways of cooking and everything. But they always have to base it from something that they really have a connection with, or their foods end up being a little bit lost, I find. So it doesn't matter how expensive the restaurant is, if they don't base it on some kind of a flavor profile, then you know they can experiment and change, you know. And I'm sure it's the same when they're growing orchards and stuff. They have to still base it on something that they want that flavor profile to be on, so that it can actually give them what they're looking for, instead of it being just like a full bunch of flavors put together. So that goes the same way as in growing spices and preserving spices and putting them towards recipes.
I am absolutely amazed that not only you you know, mix the spices and make regional spice mixes, but you also stay authentic to its country. Like you mentioned, if it's an Indian spice mix, like garam masala, right? Or for the curry, you would use only the ingredients that are from India to keep it as authentic as possible. Usually when I go to the store, I love to cook, and I think most Armenians do. And of course, all different regional cuisines I enjoy too. But when I go to the store, I have never actually thought of looking into where the spices are coming from. Like if I go to Sprouts, they have just like buckets of spices, and then you just scoop it into the bags and get it. But now this is going to make me think twice when I'm thinking of making Indian food versus Mexican or Thai or anything, to look into getting the actual spices from you.
Well, that's on the website, people can see. And as this was exactly the same way at the shop. The whole experience of the shop was very unique. We would have little jars and bottles with labels in front of them. And I would have, as an example, 5 different paprikas or 6 different paprikas, all from different parts of the world. And it would still all look almost the same. They're red, powdered, you know. And people would open their jars and smell one by one, each one of them. And they would be like, this smells great. And then open up another one and they say, oh, wow, this smells a little different than the other one. If you really pay attention, you can tell the distinct differences. And, you know, if you're going to create a dish that's coming out of, Afghanistan, it's great to have the flavors that are growing out of Afghanistan. If you want to create something from Korea, same thing. It's great to have the peppercorns that are coming from Korea. So it's interesting how all of that works together. I just recently ordered peppercorns from Cambodia because I wanted to recreate a blend that specifically was from Cambodia. It's not easy to recreate a blend from any country, but if you have their ingredients, it starts becoming a lot easier because now you start getting inspired from the flavors and the spices that kind of like contribute with each other. And now when you're making it, it almost like kind of gives you a direction, you know, with the right ingredients. And that's always been the key for me. I've always tried to recreate it. I mean, I've created so many curries over the years. I practically have a gift set called Around the World Curry, which has 9 different curries that uniquely are different from each other. But they're all curries. You know, you can cook them with either coconut milk, you can cook them with milk, you can cook them with cream, you can cook them with water, all in their own different worlds. But it's exciting to see the differences from all of these because, you get inspired to do something different that you're not used to doing, and you kind of start going out of the box in the kitchen, which is great when you start doing that.
Do you have cooking instructions or recipes to go with it, or have you considered publishing a cookbook that can accompany your spices, for some people who are novice, who are starting, for them to give a guidance how to use the spices, what spices to use, and then for more experts to know how to navigate through your website?
I have, several years I started putting together some of the recipes that I personally would make with some of the blends I make. But now recently, my newest idea, and that's going to probably put everything together, is I started a recipe competition on my site where people actually use the spices they purchase from our site, and then they enter a recipe that they did with our ingredients. And they, you know, post pictures and everything. And every month I pick a winner and they get $100 worth of spices for free. And every month there's a winner. But the idea is that we're collecting people's recipes now. And then as we collect those recipes, my goal at the end is to actually create an app that makes it so easy. When you type in, you know, coriander, it'll give you all these recipes with coriander and then associate it with other spices. So it's kind of like gives you a never-ending list of things to do and to cook.
I love it. I'm going to participate in your monthly competitions.
It's exactly on the site. You can just go into the recipe. There's on top, it says recipe
Let's
entry.
Let's talk a little bit about the website.
Sure. Yeah. my website.
So go ahead.
As I started as a brick and mortar shop. So my website was always kind of like a more of a business card than anything. But then I had 5 stores at one point in Canada and in the U.S. And, you know, was very happy just having the one-on-one personal relationship with people, very fulfilling. But then eventually, you know, you just realize that the business world is heading in a different direction. And a few years ago, I decided to close all my shops and focus more on wholesale, which already my clientele was established, my brand was established, and build my website. So from that point on, it took me 2 years to build this website, really, even though I had it all for 10 years. But it wasn't really a functioning website, because nowadays, if people can't get on your site and pick up something quickly, you know, no one's going to buy anything. No one's going to waste time on it. You know, they don't have time to waste. So it had to be functioning. It had to be fast. It had to be practical. It had to be easy. So I tried to achieve that as much as I can. I still always try to fix it and make it functioning better. And the idea is, if someone's looking for something, they can find it right away. If someone wants suggestions, we have suggestions. If someone is blank and they just need all the help they can get, they not only have the items to pick from, but they can also reach us directly. We also have a blog. They can always check out our blogs. You know, every week we publish something interesting that can help them, give them some insight, some inspiration. You know, so the idea is that the site becomes a culinary mecca for people that want to, you know, start becoming really more serious about the cooking world or their world of cooking. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to accomplish now. Make it easy for people to get what they want. And it's like that. It's like I ship the same day practically. People get their products within a couple of days. So everybody's happy. Everything's, you know, done accordingly. So if they order something cold, they can get it whole. If they order something ground, they can get it ground. You know, everything's done on order. So it's kind of like we're an artisanal shop, but now serving all of America and Canada, you know, in that sense.
I think that was a great time to switch to the online only because of the current situation and not being able to have the stores operating. I think that was a great time, and maybe you are looking much farther into the future, switching it to e-commerce. Have you considered a spice club? Like to have a monthly club or like buy,
yes,
just like wine club.
I have. Yes, I know. And I have a friend that always bothers me on that. He's one of my associates. He always tells me, Peter, when are you going to do the spice club? When are you going to do the subscription base and all that? I am, you know, I really have that on my plan of list of things to do. And I think that's probably one of the next steps that I'll take as well. When I'm ready. But yeah, I even have broken down the packages that I would offer people where they can have a subscription and then they have a package that they can alter to for themselves uniquely. And then every month it can come that automatically and then they can tweak it. They can make suggestions and things like that. Yeah. I mean, that's in the works. It's just that I was so stuck on trying to make my site so perfect almost. I spent all my time and energy doing that. And right now, I still feel like there's still things I can fix, you know, because it's always about the experience that really needs to be refined. And as long as I feel like there's always some kind of a little flaw, you know, I'm very hands-on when it comes to people. When they go on my site and they have one issue, I'm very hands-on, you know, that I want to make sure that no one has an issue. And it's hard to do that. I realize that, too. So I'm at a point where now I can accept maybe once in a blue moon something happens. And now that I'm there, I think the next project would be is that I'm going to open up that subscription page and get people, you know, involved in there too, because that would be the ones where people would just be, okay, I just want to, you know, let them send me what I think I should eat. And that's what we'll send
people.
I think
that would be a great idea. That would be a great idea. So, Peter, thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge, your website. Let's repeat it one more time for the listeners. And I think we should pick up our conversation again and talk more, because I'm sure the listeners are going to have much more questions for you following. What was the website one more time?
Absolutely. The website is spicestationsilverlake.com. And you can basically find that online anywhere around the world, because we can serve the whole world population with our spices. That's our goal, you know. That's what we want to do. Eventually, we want to have a spice center or anywhere around the world so that they can actually order and drop and ship.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Anush. Thank you for having me as a guest. I really appreciated it. Thank you very much.